this truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we'll be talking about the latest decision, and this is, we think, a good idea, and a change in the criminal justice system in the U.S. Now, some people, when the criminal justice system gets something right, people say, see, the system works. That is not the right analysis when, you know, if a murderer gets convicted. Please don't say, see, the system works, because the system is godless, it's immoral, it's corrupt, it's broken, it's no longer a justice system, now it's just the system. So if, in fact, some particular incident suggests that the justice system in America worked, please don't say, see, the system works. Please instead say, even a broken clock is right twice a day. All right? Say that. Don't say. There'll be a fine. If you say, see, the system works, you'll get fined. Okay. Now, the improvement to our system is that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that, in fact, when someone is arrested, the police have every right to swab them. You know how they take your fingerprints to find out if there's a crime and your fingerprints was on the murder weapon or in blood on a light switch at the victim's home or something like that? Well, the police also, nowadays, they like to swab the arrestee to get your DNA to see if you're guilty of some crime. And, in fact, the case that brought this to the U.S. Supreme Court is a case where a rapist had been arrested for a different crime. And, you know, the ACLU, All Criminals Love Us, they and others are up in arms that this rapist was caught and convicted because they say that he should have had a right to privacy to his identity. And I realize that your DNA is more than your signature, it's more than your mugshot, it's more than your fingerprint, but it is your identity more so than anything else about you. I mean, it's your identity in this extraordinary way. This is you, and so the Supreme Court saying that the police have the right to swab, to take a DNA sample, a DNA cheek swab from people who are arrested, I think that that will go a long way toward minimizing sexual assault in America so that women and children, now we have a crime epidemic, we have a violent crime epidemic, a murder epidemic, and that's not even including the killing of unborn children. Of course, we need to include that. And so the epidemic is, you know, it's a biblical proportion epidemic. We have a rape epidemic, child molestation epidemic. So when attorneys tell you we have the greatest system in the world, remember, they speak Latin. You have to translate it into English. What they mean is we have the highest paid attorneys in the world. That's what that means. When they say we have the best system in the world, it's a reference to their paychecks and their retirement program. So, but this is a good thing, because I know that some conservatives get angry at things like this, but there is no right to anonymity. There's no fundamental right to be anonymous in a society, and especially when you get arrested. Now, I realize you're not convicted, but when you get arrested, you are suspected by the authorities of having committed a crime. And so they're completely justified in wanting to verify who you are as an individual. And so our rights, you know, how do we know what our rights are? Do I have the right for the government not to know who I am? Well, this is a bit circular, so forgive me for a moment, but it helps a lot of people understand. A right could be enforced justly. So, for example, if you're not sure whether something is a right or not, use the baseball bat rule. With a baseball bat, you can enforce something. And so you have a right to life. So if someone is trying to deprive you of your right to life, they're trying to kill you for no just cause, can you use a baseball bat to enforce your right to life? Would it be justified? And yes, it would. Now, if you're suspected of stealing a car and the authorities want to know who you are, they want your fingerprints, they want your retina scan, they want your DNA, they want your mugshot, would you be justified in bashing a police officer over the head because they want to know who you are? Would you be justified in using the baseball bat to enforce your rights? And I think most people, even though it's hard to enunciate exactly, identify the boundaries of some rights, the baseball bat rule of thumb helps them think through, and they could tell in their heart of hearts, with the conscience that God has given all of us, they could see, you know what, it wouldn't be right to use a baseball bat to try to stop a law enforcement officer from getting my identity, my fingerprints, my DNA, my mugshot, and so on. So, at any rate, I'm thankful. I hope that while we have this crime epidemic, including sexual assaults, and this might only moderate at the fringes, but this is not something that's immoral. This is something that is justified, and it should help to protect a number of children and women from becoming the victims of sexual assaults and other crimes and other violent crimes. Now, by the way, that would be here at Bob Benyart Live, that would be Bob Benyart Live advocating for incrementalism in a way, wouldn't it? I mean, this is not going to stop all rape, would it? No, of course not. This is on the margins. But those in the personhood movement that I know, including, for example, American Right to Life, have always, always advocated for incremental efforts as long as they're not morally compromised. So you go to AmericanRightToLife.org and you could look at their regulations. You look at their good versus bad incrementalism. Just try, I think it would work, to go to AmericanRightToLife.org/incrementalism. Would that work? Is that a valid URL? American, I'm trying it right here, incrementalism. How do you spell that? Mentalism. Incrementalism. And it should be pop. And here it is, good and bad incrementalism. And you'll see all examples of principled laws that would not end abortion, but they're not immoral. And then there's examples of compromised incrementalism where these things are actually morally compromised and they make it harder to end child killing. And so it turns out that the laws that end with "and then you could kill the baby" are bad laws. Whereas principled incrementalism, they don't end with, they don't reauthorize or re-justify child killing. So to have a parallel to a DNA swab and fingerprints and all, and rape, it's people that we try to explain these fundamental principles to, they easily confuse themselves. They confuse themselves in a heartbeat, like the heartbeat bill. They confuse themselves in a heartbeat. And if we had a bill that said, well, you can't rape a woman, a rape is against the law unless you give your informed consent, that should help them realize that they're confused. But at any rate, I'd like to go from that good news, there's not often we get good news with the culture, to a blog at personhoodusa.com. And I see one of their popular bloggers there is a guy named Drew. And wow, two blogs in the last 2 days, and this guy knocks it out of the park with both blogs. The first has to do with courage, and he takes on the question of when the media, when they refer to child killers, abortionists, as courageous, and he compares that to people who hurt the innocent in all different ways. And he asks, well, are they courageous too? And so I want to look at that blog and then also the blog where the pro-aborts in Alabama are angry because they can't harm their unborn children when they're not killing them and get away with it any longer. It used to be that they could, even if they're not going to kill their unborn child, they could still harm that child. Child abuse, take drugs, addict their own child to drugs before the child's even born, and get away with it, you know, because the pro-aborts say that the baby in the womb is not a person. And so the Supreme Court in the state of Alabama passed a law, and this is so interesting because our friend of Bob and Yurt Live, Judge Roy Moore, Judge Moore is back now as the Chief Justice of the Alabama State Supreme Court. And if you recall, he has helped us in our battle. He's helped to expose corrupt incrementalism of the partial birth abortion ban and the ruling. He came on this show and he apologized. He repented. He actually publicly repented because he had supported the Supreme Court's partial birth abortion ban ruling. And he said, and we had asked him, we went to Birmingham, Alabama, when he was praising the ruling, and we asked him to reconsider, to read the ruling. Judge Moore, have you read the ruling? Well, I haven't read the ruling, but it's obviously a victory. Said, Judge Moore, please read the ruling. We actually took out a full-page ad in the Birmingham News. I think it cost $8,000. That one ad, primarily to reach one man, Judge Roy Moore. And he read the ad, he read the ruling, he came on the show, and he apologized. And he said that this, what the pro-life movement, National Right to Life, Focus on the Family, had worked for 15 years, and they finally got their victory. He said it was the most brutally wicked ruling maybe in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court. It was utterly wicked, the partial birth. When you read it, grown men have been known to be moved to tears in disgust and horror reading that ruling, where it's a virtual abortion, late-term abortion manual explaining how to kill a late-term baby and get away with it. That's what the whole ruling is. Even how to do a partial birth abortion and get away with it. That's in there, too. It's just a shocking thing. But anyway, the Supreme Court in Alabama, State Supreme Court, ruled that if you harm your baby before it's born, then that's still child abuse. And there are pro-aborts in Alabama who are angry about that. And so the question of the blog today is, should pregnant women be allowed to harm their unborn children when not killing them? It's got an edge to it, doesn't it? It's got an edge to it. But first, back to the Courage blog. There's an abortionist in Canada there's a dead abortionist in Canada, and he played a key role in legalizing baby murder, prenatal baby murder, as Drew terms it in this blog yesterday, June 2nd, 2013. And the Vancouver Sun calls this dead abortionist, Henry Morgan Taylor, he calls Morgan Taylor a man of courage, man of courage. That's normal, right? That's what they do. The New York Times and many other U.S. media use the word courage to refer to the female abortionist who reopened George Tiller's late-term abortuary. And by the way, if you want to see the work of George Tiller, just go to the georgetillermemorial.com. Is that URL correct? I always need my producer to check these things. georgetillermemorial.com, that works. georgetillermemorial.com. You'll be shocked. This, by the way, that memorial, it has photos that were authorized by the abortionist George Tiller himself and used by permission. I think it'll shock you. It's georgetillermemorial.com. But at any rate, the Vancouver Sun, calls this pioneer child killer in Canada a man of courage. The New York Times and others in the U.S. attributed courage to the female abortionist, Julie Burkhart, who reopened George Tiller's abortuary. And so then this blogger asks, does opening an abortion mill take courage? He says, you know, I can easily see why, after Scott Roeder killed baby murderer George Tiller, why someone who reopens such a death camp might fear for her own life. But is that courage? Should we call that courage? That's a good question. It reminds me of when Time magazine did an article on Adolf Hitler. Not just an article. It was a cover story. It was Man of the Year. They gave the Man of the Year position to Adolf Hitler. Now, they weren't saying that he was a good guy. They were saying he was an evil guy. But isn't that weird to give the Man of the Year title to a wicked socialist, godless Darwinist? I mean, isn't that weird? That's sort of weird, right? It'd be like saying, who's the Mother of the Year? Well, the Mother of the Year goes to Andrea Yates for drowning her five children. Mother of the Year goes to Susan Smith. Who's the Teacher of the Year? Who was that woman who was having sex with her student, Mary Lou Letourneau? She should have been the Teacher of the Year, right? Teacher of the Year, Mother of the Year, Father of the Year. So you know why Time magazine would say Adolf Hitler is the Man of the Year? Because they like moral relativism. They like to confuse simple issues. They like to pretend that everything is gray, so they're not conceivably guilty of any wickedness because everything is gray. And the Man of the Year is, you know, the guy who saved a bus full of kids or the guy who slaughtered a bus full of kids. Either one could be the Man of the Year. Just depends on who got the most ink that year. So Drew at Personhood USA asks, is that courage? And he writes, I suppose if risking your own life to do something hideously evil is courage, then I guess that's courage. But it's really something else, isn't it? Consider a child molester. Does he have courage? If parents catch him molesting their child, they might just kill him, as one Texas father did. You know, I remember that Texas case because I think Doug McBurney and I covered that, what, about a year ago. And it was this case where a father beat to death a man who was sexually assaulting his own daughter, little, like a four-year-old daughter on their farm. And the sheriff said, hey, we don't anticipate arresting this guy because all he did was beat the guy in the head until he was dead. That's all he did. And the sheriff said, I can't see any reason there to arrest him. And so this, I guess that child molester, he was a man of courage. I guess the Houston Chronicle would refer to that guy as a man of courage. Man of courage, child molester, whatever the guy's name is, was he died trying to live out his dream. You know, he died trying to be who he was born to be. He was born that way. Animals do it. Nature does it. He's a man of courage. So the blogger at Personhood USA says, if parents catching him molesting their child, they might just kill him, as one Texas father actually did. The child molester was risking his life to molest the child. Let's call that child molester courage. Consider a rapist. Does he have courage? A rapist endangers his own life to rape someone. That's true, right? He might get an STD. That's got to take courage to rape a stranger, no less. Now, you think the Huffington Post will put that online? Just that pull, that call-out quote? Bob Enyart said, Christian pastor, Denver Bible Church pastor, said on the radio, on Colorado's most powerful AM 670, KLTT, 50,000 watt, that rapists are courageous. Consider a rapist. Does he have courage? A rapist endangers his own life to rape someone since his victim or even a bystander may kill him. Amen. Is that courage? How about a robber who assails people in an alley? Does he have courage? Isn't he risking his life? It's clear that risking your life to harm others is really not courage. Henry Morgenthaler, Julie Burkhart, rapists and muggers don't have courage. They have child molester courage. Very good. I like that, and I like trying to distinguish how we actually use words. For me, one of my hobby horses is the word bias. I think bias should only be used to talk about a commitment to a view or a belief that's incorrect. If it's correct, I don't think you should call it bias. Like if somebody says, well, the sun is much hotter than Pluto. Well, that's from your bias. You're saying that because of your bias. Well, the earth orbits around the sun. Well, you're only saying that because of your bias. If God were to say that it's wrong to kill the innocent, in fact, I think he did, would that be because he's biased? Or would it be true? If God said, I created in 6 days, is that because he's biased? So the way conservatives say we should use the word bias, it's for anyone who has any perspective whatsoever, whether it's right or wrong. I think we should use the term bias in this sense, not talking about technology and computer audio equipment and all that, but in this sense, we should use it for a commitment to a view that is false. That's when we should use bias. Okay, so now on to the second block. Oh, so I like that, clarifying the difference between courage and a commitment to evil that will even allow people to risk their own lives. What, Adolf Hitler was courageous. Would that be appropriate to say he was courageous? Man of the year, had a lot of courage. Overcame many obstacles to achieve his vision for the future until he didn't. So then we go to Alabama, Judge Roy Moore territory, and we have this blog now again at personhoodusa.com/blog. And the title of it is, and this is today's blog, Should Pregnant Women Be Allowed to Harm Their Unborn Children When Not Killing Them? It's just the perfect title because it points to the insanity of the world we live in. When the culture says you can kill an innocent child, then the conservatives who try to justify all that, like when James Dobson and Focus on the Family tried to justify federal judge Samuel Alito, he made a ruling as a federal judge to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey. That was his ruling, that you could continue to kill kids via partial birth abortion. And so Dr. Dobson and Focus on the Family, since Alito is considered a Republican, and so they, you know, they sort of liked him, they justified it. They said that, well, it was actually a good ruling because Samuel Alito was following the process. We have a letter to us from Dr. Dobson saying exactly that with his signature on the letter, on their Focus on the Family letterhead. Justifying. So if Dr. Dobson was in Nazi Germany and some commandant was slaughtering Jews, and Dr. Dobson, and it went to court and the judge said, no, he could keep killing the Jews, Dr. Dobson would say, well, that judge is a Republican judge. He was appointed by, don't you know that George W. Bush wants him on the U.S. Supreme Court? He's one of our guys. So he would defend that Nazi judge because he was following the process. If you think I'm making any of this up, you're crazy by now. You're crazy. If you think I'm making any of this up, you're crazy. Because it's all documented. You could find it at prolifeprofiles.com/Dobson. Now, how much easier could that be? prolifeprofiles.com/Dobson, you'll find it, where there's a big cash reward offered to anyone on the internet who could document errors in all of this. It's also, by the way, in Focus on the Strategy, you could see the letter. You could see the letter in the documentary at AmericanRightToLife.org/Focus2. Focus, F-O-C-U-S, The number two, Focus 2. AmericanRTL.org/Focus 2. It'll blow your mind. So at the Decatur Daily, Mary Sell writes about the pro-abortion groups that are complaining about the January ruling by the Alabama Supreme Court that recognizes that mothers should be held accountable when they expose their unborn babies to illegal drugs. And Ms. Sell writes this. She writes, Alabama prosecutors began charging pregnant women and those who had just given birth under the law. A Russellville mother, Amanda Kimbrough, whose son died minutes after being born, what a tragedy, admitted to using methamphetamine during her pregnancy. Now, she said she only used it once, but her husband argues that's not what caused the baby's premature birth or death. Perhaps Ms. Kimbrough's husband is an unbiased expert regarding the cause of infant Timmy's untimely death. But Ms. Sell gives us no reason for us to think so. Considering the fact that Ms. Kimbrough was innocent until proven guilty, it seems probable that the prosecution had far better evidence. Abortion activist Lynn Paltrow states that recognizing unborn babies as victims of their mother's drug addiction is bad for babies. How's that for pro-abortion logic? This is bad for babies. When you mix childbirth with criminal activity, you end up with sicker babies. Don't you know that this might lead to fewer babies being dismembered? Don't you know that? Don't you know that Planned Parenthood needs to dismember as many babies as possible to make sure that babies are loved and cared for? So she says that this is bad for babies. You end up with sicker babies. If you threaten women with arrest, they are not going to come to the doctor, and you're creating state incentives for abortion. Well, isn't it interesting when she advocates the state saying, by the way, you can kill your child, you can have an abortion, no problem. By the way, we'll pay for you to kill your child. So she advocates any and all inducements for abortion. And she says, when you hold a woman accountable for child abuse against her child, the child she chooses not to kill, that's bad for babies. So we live in this upside-down, topsy-turvy world, but two great blogs, very insightful, at personhoodusa.com. And, hey, if you could remember our email ID, bob@kgov.com, today we used a different technology to broadcast. And maybe if you're a technical kind of guy, let us know how it sounded. God bless.